Welcome to Season 2 of the Doper Podcast, fueling conversations around creative wellness and turning negative barriers into positive tools for mental success. Brought to you by the Department of Proactiveness and your host, Alex Normanton. Joining me today is Lieve Grimberger, Design Director at Media Monks Amsterdam. We discuss how to combat feelings of insecurity, the imposter syndrome, and how to change your mindset. Also, some top tips on how to empower people to smash it in their day-to-day roles. So, Lieve, it is an absolute pleasure to have you on the launch of Season 2. And we're sat in your stunning apartment. Thank you for having me on what possibly could be described as a tropical day. So, let's get into it. I really appreciate you wanting to be involved in this project. And just from a couple of conversations we've had, and just from seeing a few of your content pieces online and interviews and your keynote speaking presentations, I've just felt very inspired by you, actually. And I'd love to unpack who you are, how you think. So thanks for being willing.
Thank you very much. It's such a pleasure to actually be part of this. I'm a big fan of DOPA personally.
Yeah, thanks for wearing the DOPA t-shirt today.
No, yeah, but thank you so much. It's a great pleasure and thank you for the kind words.
No problem. So we're here to talk about how to navigate from insecurity to empowerment and really very much how you lead people to embodying that idea and attitude really of smashing it and in a positive way in their daily creative roles. It's a topic that you're overtly passionate about and a philosophy I think that you wholeheartedly embody within your creative leadership methodology and day-to-day working life. So I'm curious to unpack this sort of transition really, because I think a lot of creative people have insecurity moments or the imposter syndrome. And so where would you say that this feeling of insecurity originates from for you, certainly within a professional context?
It's actually a very good timing for this question, because I went back to Media Monks last week. I used to work there for many years, and then I had a little gap, and last week I started a new role again. And for the first time in a very long time, I actually had that little bit of a feeling again, and I was actually thinking quite a lot about this, because after all of these years in this industry, I still feel like maybe I'm not good enough in that moment when I started again a new role. Mm-hmm. And I've actually talked a lot with people about this, how I think it's possibly even a generational problem that we don't feel like we deserve or we're good enough for the roles that we're doing. Experiencing this so many times in my career already, it's a little bit easier to snap out of it, because I know that I've felt like this before and I know how to work with myself and how to conquer this. Mm-hmm. But right now, one of the main things that I'm focusing on is how to work with younger designers, mm-hmm. to make sure that they conquer that as well and they know how to work through this emotion of not feeling good enough, feeling like they cannot get this project done, that they don't deserve doing this project. So now my main focus is to try to translate, mm-hmm. the same emotion and talk about the fact that even I feel like that, yeah. after all these years of experience.
Why do you think that is the case though?
Personally, me, I put a lot of pressure on myself. Mm-hmm. I put this imaginary idea, what people expect from me instantly. If I don't get it done on a first or a second day, I feel like I'm failing others, which is definitely not the case. It's just how we pressure ourselves, I guess. Mm-hmm. And especially right now when we work from home, I feel like we're even adding more of that pressure on ourselves, going like, because nobody cannot really interact with us. Nobody knows what we're doing. So in that moment, you go like, okay, how do I prove that I'm actually a value? Mm-hmm. I'm very, very proud and very lucky that my husband is such a great support for me, because mm-hmm. it's how I snap out of it very easy, is having him going like, come on, like, you've done this before.
Yeah.
We have this conversation every time. You're gonna kill it. It's gonna be great. And he's empowering me, so I actually have somebody who's giving me that energy, yeah. to believe in myself. Yeah. That's why I focus on my team to make sure that I give them also that energy, that they have somebody that's working with them that believes 100% in everything they do and tells them that it's okay to sometimes not feel like you can deliver something. It's okay to sometimes feel like something's a little bit too much. That's why I'm here. I am the fallback for you to help you get through this.
Which is about stepping back in order for people to thrive and flourish and feel empowered. But I also think there's a persona from yourself in terms of being super open and transparent and saying, look, I struggle with these things. You know, everyone goes through these cycles. You're not alone, but how we can use some tools and strategies to really turn that cycle into something positive. If you're not careful, you can kind of get trapped in your own mind and then it just becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. But it's so funny how the mind works, especially, you know, having worked at a senior level for some amazing companies, and you're obviously incredibly talented at what you do, your mind still tricks you in a way to think you got to prove yourself again on every project, on every job you start, on every company you walk into, rather than going, you've done this before, you know what you're doing, you're awesome with teams, you're awesome with clients, your work is phenomenal. Why do we kind of focus on the negative so much?
I think being outside of comfort zone, whenever we change something, any kind of smallest change in the team or in everyday agenda kind of throws us off the comfort zone. And sometimes it's not a bad thing, but sometimes that actually can turn into something very negative. Yeah, it's just something new, something that you know you haven't done before, or there's people who haven't worked with you before.
Yeah.
And you go like, oh my God, like I don't know how this is gonna work out. What's gonna happen now? It's it's a really weird feeling. Mm-hmm. I've learned one interesting thing. Openly say that, hey, I'm a little bit iffy, like I've just took this project on and it feels very big. I'm sure I'm gonna tackle it and I'm gonna handle it, like, but right now I'm a little bit scared. And by adding those emotions, you're kind of materializing a little bit more of that motion and it becomes more bearable. And also you don't keep it into yourself. It's very important to let it out. And all the insecurities, it's important to let them out and share them. That's why I think it's very important to constantly feel like you're in a safe space.
Yeah.
But once you change different spaces, you're in a new space. Mm-hmm. So I think it takes a little bit time to settle in.
Yeah. I mean, do you think there are any similar components from yourself to why a designer or creative may feel insecure about their work or their creative ideas?
And unfortunately, I think there's still quite a lot of competition.
Yeah.
And rather than viewing people that we work with as a team, a lot of times we view them a little bit as a competition.
Yeah. Rather than as a teammate.
Yeah. So I think that's where a lot of that comes from.
Yeah.
There's still a bit of egos within our industry, within the mentality of creatives. That's the main problem. So rather than being like, oh my God, like I love the work that you do. How did you made it? What was the idea behind it? How did you came up with it? A lot of people still go like, oh, this is so good. Why am I not this good? Mm-hmm. Or, oh, I haven't produced great work in the last 6 months. Maybe I'm not that great, you know? Rather than going from a place of learning from each other, there's still a lot of, I should be this good as well. Why am I not this good kind of a mentality and thinking?
Fine line, isn't it, between competition and healthy competition and empowerment of people working around you as a designer, coming up with ideas where you know someone's always going to nail it because they're amazing. And so you're always trying to level up. I think those thoughts are more paralyzing than actually concentrating on bringing yourself to something and bringing your own identity to something. If you're not careful, it can actually just have a negative effect on your work, but then also then affect potentially the culture within the team.
I honestly don't think that there should be any competition within the team.
Hmm.
There should be just collaboration. I think that's the most important thing that we need to remember on a daily basis, that we're not there to compete with each other. We're there to learn from each other and get better together. So this is where I think the
shift needs to be.
The empowerment is what really helps that to happen.
Yeah.
when you talk to people that you believe in them and you trust their opinion and you stop micromanaging mm-hmm. or stop suggesting how they should move their pixels or what types they need to choose, giving them the right tools and telling them that they're capable of creating something amazing, mm-hmm. you remove that competition and you actually give them passion and excitement about what they're doing and where they need to move their next project. And by having that inspiration and constant spark, everybody wants to get a little bit better because everybody sees the amazing result they can get done without the competition.
I think that's a really nice way to describe it, to move away from competition and move to more of a collaborative approach. I think that is a healthy mentality. And just because there's maybe a designer within the team that all their work seems to go through all the time doesn't mean that, you know, they're revered as the chosen one. You know, what can people learn from that? And how can you draw alongside to collaborate more effectively or to question things more effectively? But actually to be inspired by those things that are going through as ideas and people's own kind of ambitions being realized. Like, there should be this culture of championship and collaboration rather than dictatorship and competition. I think also it's really dependent on the culture of the company and the agency as well to foster that attitude.
The managers and leaders are the ones that need to
foster it
and take care of it, because if they inspire their teams, then it kind of spreads out from all of the teams.
Yeah, it's infectious.
Yeah, it's very hard to have a culture in a large company that mm-hmm. overarches everyone's thinking, you know what I mean? Like, even in a smaller companies, it's very hard to do that. So it really comes down to the mentality and what type of management you approve and you want to follow.
Which is a challenge, isn't it, often with certain individuals you may come across who is built upon egocentric and is all about them, which is typically like the lead from the front and you follow. But I get the feeling that your style of leadership is more from the back, almost steering the ship and pointing people to where to go, which is an empowering model rather than a dictatorship model.
Yeah, well, the thing is, my career started in a lot of different agencies where there was definitely a lot of very old school type of a thinking that I'm the boss, you have to listen to what I say, and in a very stressful, very negative environment. So I lived through that fear of not getting things done properly, not being good enough. And going from there and finally ending up at Media Monks and having my first team, I've instantly learned that it's not the right way. Actually, it was quite interesting. As soon as I got promoted to a team lead, literally the next day, I had designers coming up and asking me all of the questions that they had. Should I use this font? Should I use that font? How big should be this component? And like basically everything. And I very quickly realized that they thought that over the night, I've just become this super person that knows all of the answers, which was not the case. It was just a promotion. It didn't mean that it changed that drastically. So very quickly, I was like, okay, this is not going to work. Yeah. I cannot pretend that I can give them all the right answers. It's not sustainable for me. So I sat down with my team and we spoke about the fact that we need to come up with solutions together. That I was really transparent about the fact that obviously I don't know everything. I don't have experience in absolutely every single aspect of the projects they're going to come to. So why don't we just bring all the issues together and talk about them and see if between all of us, there's a right answer somewhere. And that really, really helped. And that also really, I've noticed, that was the first time I've actually noticed that it become a lot more safer. It become a lot more approachable for everyone. Everybody could have an opinion. And it really, really changed the dynamics of the team.
Yeah.
And that was a little bit of my starting point. But I was like, okay, this is great. So this is working. What else can we do to make this feel more like a team, help each other, feel transparent and never have that fear that I personally experienced in previously in different agencies when I was a young designer.
Yeah.
And it really worked. And from that, that was a starting point of learning a lot more.
Yeah. And also having a different approach to leadership. You almost, from a bad experience, want to do the opposite to what you experienced to facilitate creativity and ultimately empowering people as an attitude. Yeah. What specific attributes do you think help fuel that feeling of insecurity and imposter syndrome?
People competing to each other, having a lot of egos. That's the main thing that fuels it. Being in a healthy environment makes you a little bit unhealthy from that perspective. It makes you doubt every decision you make. And more you doubt, more you're going to doubt all the other things that are happening in your life. Honestly, like a lot of times I've heard that people are getting design paralysis where they cannot just think about how to solve issue with design anymore. They're scared to design something. And that definitely comes from the environment where you're not trusted, environment where you have competition. Only very negative things come out of these environments.
Yeah, so those negative points fuel those doubts and seed those negative thoughts of feeling insecure or feeling like an imposter, not quite finding your feet. As a creative leader, what tactics have you used to combat these hurdles throughout your career in terms of insecurity, imposter syndrome?
I evaluate myself quite often. I look into, sometimes it's every day, sometimes it's once a week, sometimes it's once a month, but I do like self little evaluations to see how did I approach some things so I can learn from them. I remind myself that I will figure this out and I got this. And when it doesn't work, again, I have my husband who reminds me that I got this.
Yeah. And I think it's good to have those people in your life that encourage you, be it a husband, a partner, a friend, a work colleague, just to remind you of past hurdles that you've managed to overcome. Because there's something about your story and your experience that should inform your attitude for where you're at now. But so often we kind of forget so quickly that we've been in this position before. And it's kind of linked to the creative process in a way, when you get that brief and you go, I have absolutely no idea how we're going to do this. Yeah. Right? But you know from experience that that's the first reaction you have. And 3 months down the line, you go, oh, look how far we've come. You quickly have to think, look, we always start with that point of view of what we're going to do. Am I good enough? Are we going to crack this? But from experience, you know that you're going to. So it'd be good if we kind of started to talk to ourselves in a little bit of more of that way of thinking. Like, you're going to do this. You've done it before. You know you've got hurdles to jump through. That's the creative process. Be kind to yourself. You know, you got this. It's like you have to kind of say the narratives that other people are saying to you for yourself in order to motivate you to crack those negative things that come in our heads often within the creative process, but also within the working day.
It's interesting because we're so programmed to be kind to others, but we're never kind to ourselves.
Yeah, we're our own biggest critic.
You say that, and I'm like, yeah. And these are the things that I always say to people I work with, but whenever it comes to myself, somehow I manage to forget it.
Yeah. Well, it's like when you're talking to a friend who's got a specific problem and you go and give advice and you say this. And then sometimes in those conversations, like, you almost feel like you're talking to yourself at the same time. But we find it very difficult to listen to our own advice, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's a tough one. From an empowerment point of view, it's really encouraging to hear you talk about the value of empowering people within a creative context, day-to-day working life, really battling that competition mentality and turning that into collaboration. How do you daily champion and empower your designers?
I'm a cheerleader for them. Yeah, literally. But within that safe environment, we allow people to talk freely about their not just work, but also their feelings. And more better you know people you work with, more you can support them and more you can give them that empowerment. So I believe in getting to know people that I'm working with, and I believe in making them comfortable and making them feel safe so they can talk about whatever is happening in their lives. It's very important to remember that we're all people and we're all dealing with so many different things on a daily basis. There can be family issues, yeah. There can be relationship issues, there can be a lot of things that affect our performances, and that is normal. Emotions get in a way, mm-hmm. and knowing that, for example, we deal with a lot of things on a daily basis, we also need to remember that everybody we work with also have very different things, but also things they're dealing with. So being supportive of that and letting people to share that and giving them space and empower them of being able to get through, not just work-wise, but also their life-wise, mm-hmm. is very important. And then obviously cheerleading when it comes to projects. I let everybody run their projects and I am there as a support. I am there for brainstorming. I am there to be in a client calls if they need to fall back, so they're always safe if they get stuck. Mm-hmm. We figure out the right solutions. My role is to be the support, to be the fallback, to be the pillow, basically.
Oh, that's nice.
I've learned the difference between being that team lead that sit next to someone and goes like, oh, I think you should move this to the right or left or up and down.
So you basically went in a circle.
Yeah.
Landed where you started.
But moved to somebody who now goes like, you know what, you can move your pixels however you think is the best.
Yeah.
I can tell you what makes sense, what doesn't make sense, and you can make your own decisions. Mm. But as long as you have the... your rationals and your thinking, as long as you know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, I'm here to help you figure out what you're doing. Like, that's how I work with teams now.
What are some of those practical things that you've introduced to motivate people and cheerlead people in a remote way?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, you're actually right. Used to have so much more different in-person contact. I used to do boat rides and dinners in my house. We used to do what went good, what went bad, and what can we improve tasks in my backyard with a team, with some wine and some French fries. Now when everything is a little bit more remote, well, when everything is completely remote, it's a lot harder to build these connections.
Yeah.
But this is where getting to know each other works. I have 15-minute one-to-one on a daily basis with my team. And that really helps, that one-on-one time, those very quick 15 minutes just to check in and see how things are going.
Yeah.
And also there is something very interesting about having these calls from your home. Sometimes I have my dog in my background. Sometimes my daughter climbs in my lap and makes these very cute sounds and waves to the screen. And that adds a lot of very personal kind of a level. I remember last year, I had my 3-year wedding anniversary with my husband, and we had this really big pitch going on. So I was having my anniversary dinner at home with my husband and had one of my designers on a Zoom call. We were eating dinner and we were talking about how we can improve things, but also making jokes about his cooking. And it felt like she was in a room with us. So there is that little bit of very human touch as well when it comes to working digitally.
How do you think creatives can instill more positivity into themselves and around their own work?
There's a very simple trick.
I'm curious to know.
It's always finding an angle on every single project.
Mm-hmm.
Not every project is going to be a masterpiece. Not every project is going to be this visual, exciting thing. But there's other angles that you can learn from and other exciting angles. For example, some projects are very interesting client communication that you can learn from. Or there's a teaching or consulting moment when you work with a client and you can actually grow in that area a lot more. And then sometimes the angle is the team. Sometimes you work with the most amazing team and then you can honestly learn from each other and learn from different disciplines. So there's always an angle.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always have to be visual. maybe mm-hmm. there's a little bit of a different role you can take on. Maybe suddenly you are leading a little bit more that project. That means you're learning how to lead. Maybe you work mm-hmm. with a junior or an intern. That means you can learn yourself how to talk to others and how to guide others. So there's always an angle.
It just depends on the perspective you want to uphold in your own mind. You could say to yourself, this is a really dull project. I'm not interested in it whatsoever. It's never going to win awards. It's never going to achieve the results. And quite frankly, I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
Or you could flip that narrative to be, okay, it's not the most exciting thing in the world, but how can we make it super engaging? How can we actually challenge the perception of the brand and come up with something that's completely different, that's in its own white space, and play with that convention? Do you have any top tips for how people can start to reframe their own battles around insecurity, imposter syndrome, and really how to shift into more of an empowerment mentality?
I think the number one is connecting with a mentor or with a like-minded person. That does really, really a lot, because I think it's also important to find the right mentors that are dealing with a similar emotion. And once you do, you can talk freely about this and experience and understand that you're not the only one who's experiencing the same feelings or emotions. There's a very interesting project in Amsterdam where not a senior, but more mid-level designers and creatives and copywriters become mentors to, for example, junior levels. So the gap is not that big. It's actually more of a communication, collaboration, and sharing the experiences, which I feel like it's a little bit less intimidating.
Oh, yeah, I think I've heard of that. It's called She's Your Mama by She Says, I think. Great title.
Yeah. So that's a very interesting one. It's understanding that you're not the only person who's dealing with, understanding that it's pretty much an industry problem, and talking about it is a number one key to actually feel a little bit better. Also, I always say that you need to find the right team and the right people who actually care about you and your growth and your development. So it's very important to be in the right environment. If you're not in the right environment, you have to change it.
Do you mean from a working environment perspective?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, when I work with my mentees and when I hear that they have problems within their teams, they're not feeling that they've been heard or they don't feel the possibility of growth, I always suggest to look into maybe other possibilities that they can move mm-hmm. forward to, maybe find a different place, maybe find a different agency. And then we talk through about the things that I need to look for when they have an interview, things I need to ask about the team structure, about the involvement. Do they have their lead that they think they can go to? Because it's very important to, especially if you're at the beginning of your career, to be part of something that helps you to grow and develop and get somewhere quicker. I think that if, for example, for me in my career, it took me really long time to figure out a lot of things. Actually, how to be a good designer, it took me a long time because I feel like I was figuring out myself. But you can cut that time in half if you have right people that guide you and help you and show you all the tools and give you the confidence of presenting your work, feeling confident about your work, understanding what you need to know to that your work makes actually sense. So yeah, I think the mentorship part is really important within your team and reaching out of your team and just talking to people from different experiences.
Is there any other practical tools or top tips that you can really inject into this conversation for how people can release that confidence in themselves and ultimately lead to that attitude of completely smashing it, because they're built up, they're empowered, they're full of life, they're full of energy?
Make sure you have a well-balanced life. Make sure that you notice when you finish work and think about work that it's a no-go, because you will going to be so much better at your work if you're going to be well-relaxed. So whenever you feel these signs of working too much or thinking about work too much, think about changing your environment a little bit. Go work out. go talk to people, talk to friends, reach out to other creatives to talk about their work, get your mind a little bit off, and honestly know that you need to be happy and healthy and relaxed to create great work. So find what works for you to get rid of that stress and pressure, because happier you are, better work you create. I've always believed that.
Yeah, but I don't think that's said enough, actually. Your life influences your work. If you're a creative person, then the tendency is that your mind is always working, whether you're practically sitting down working or whether you're out for dinner, your mind is kind of subconsciously ticking through in the background about a challenge or something you're not quite cracked. But actually, there's something really powerful about switching off or just being present in the moment, having dinner with friends, just meeting up, going for a walk around the park. It's kind of linked to that moment when you're in the shower, you know, in the morning or in the evening, whenever your showering preferences happen, because your mind's switching off and you're concentrating on the task, and that's when the idea kicks off. And those elements that you can introduce into your lifestyle ultimately weaves back into your work and ideas and generation and energy.
Yeah, totally.
I think it's so important. That's been lost or amplified more recently with this always on mentality, always on screens, always working. The boundaries are blurred completely. The budgets are tight. The timeline's tight. You're always interrupted notifications on your phone. It's kind of become a little bit more complex in terms of work-life balance. And so maybe people need to kind of defend their time and put boundaries around themselves in order to defend, ultimately, their thinking, I think. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Cool. That was deep.
Very good. Very good.
Well, I felt good in my mind, but then halfway through, I was like, is this making sense?
Oh, I have that a lot. Wait, what was I saying?
Yeah, I know. I have it more as I'm getting older as well. I'll get in the middle of the sentence and it sounded incredible in my mind. And then when I actually get to the middle of the sentence, I've forgotten what my actual point was. And yeah, I'm just getting old, basically. But yeah, some would say I'm in the prime of my life.
I've had this couple of times when I present work to the client and I'm like, shit, what was I talking about?
Yeah, yeah. But I often find in those moments, you just go, okay, let's just reset. But so often we kind of flip into trying to recover from losing the fact we lost our point, and then it just gets worse. Well, I'm glad it's not just me.
No. I do that well. Yeah. I always go like, so what do you think, guys?
Yeah, that's a good one. I really want to thank you for your time and opening up your home today and just generally being a really super interesting, passionate, inspiring person. I genuinely mean
thank
that. I do feel that there's so much wisdom in there, and there's a new narrative and a new way of operating that's so important in order to fuel creativity, but also to empower people. And I think that's really important, because the future of the industry depends on empowerment and not dictatorship. So yeah, thank you, Liva. It's been awesome.
Likewise, thank you so much. I feel like I'm also empowered now. I'm like, yes.
That's great.
This is great.
Yeah, good. We're like the superhero cheerleaders of the Creative Community Amsterdam. In fact, maybe we should actually set up a cheerleading group. And hopefully this is now going to make you smash it, people who are listening, even more for the better. I think there's some really good tools there. And motivational. You can do this, people, genuinely, and that's not sarcastic. It's genuinely, you can do this, and keep telling yourself that. Be kind to yourself.
Totally.
Be your own cheerleader.
Yes, that's actually really good. And if you need some inspiration, just send a message on LinkedIn.
To you directly?
Yeah, go for it.
And if you do want to book the cheerleading duo to turn up to your office randomly one day, then we can do that.
Actually, that sounds really good. I really like the sound of it.
Brilliant. Okay, Liva, thank you so much.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate it.
Been a great morning. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, that was so much fun.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dopa Podcast. If you found this episode helpful and inspiring, please don't forget to follow, like, share, review, rate, and even subscribe. If you have any content ideas for future episodes, or you simply want to get in touch, please email alex@thedopa.com.